Tribe Nation Sports Talk on a Monday. It is July 1st. Vince D'Addario. Vince, I'm Sean Steyers, by the way. Formalities out of the way. Feels like it's like May 1st out there today.
The weather is just gorgeous. Like yesterday and today are my idea of perfect weather. You know what I mean? That actually got a little chilly.
It did.
Towards the evening yesterday, and that's what I'm talking about. Like, it was like blue skies, a little bit of a breeze, right around 70 degrees, if not 69, 68. It's perfect weather, man. Perfect weather.
I could go a little warmer than that, actually. Yeah. But today, I think, would be closer to perfection.
We're about 75 right now.
75-ish, beautiful sunshine outside.
It's nice. Yeah. It is nice. My kids spent most of the day outside, which was good.
Yeah. For sure. Especially, I mean, July 1st, but it is here. It is Canada Day. Happy Canada Day for all who celebrate.
Father David, happy Canada Day.
I don't know if he's our only Canadian listener / viewer. He's at least one of our most loyal Canadian listeners.
I haven't seen him in the chat yet, but if I do, I will wish him a happy Canada Day.
Yeah.
When he comes in, maybe he's out partying. I mean, I don't know what they do for Canada Day.
I don't know what they do either. I saw that I was watching the Blue Jays and the Astros a little bit ago.
Look at you participating.
Had an afternoon game. Yeah, yeah.
What do they celebrate? What is the celebrate? I'm going to plead my Canadian ignorance here.
I don't know. I don't know if it's like Canadian independence, like the invention of Canadian mist. Like I'm not Molson's. I don't know.
Formerly known as Dominion Day, it celebrates the anniversary of Canadian Confederation, which took place on July 1st, 1867. I don't know what that means, though. So there was three separate colonies. The United Canadas, Nova Scotia, and New Brunswick were all united into a single dominion within the British Empire.
Okay.
So there you go. All right.
Little history lesson.
So it's not their independence. They didn't gain their independence. They actually came together under the British Empire. So it's not really, it's different.
Yeah, for sure. But you do have, like English influence in one part of the country. You have French influence in another part of the country. So I just never been up on my Canadian history. So
I don't know anything. I will be honest. I don't know anything about Canadian history. I just know that they've been involved in some of our domestic struggles, the French and Indian War, War of 1812, like they were involved in some ways because of the connection with the British.
Yeah,
but for sure. Yeah, other than that,
well,
I got nothing.
Last week, I did a lot of Tesla talk after my trip to Niagara Falls and all that kind of stuff, and had someone on the boards giving me the very specific history of electricity in the United States, and which is great. But like I hadn't heard about most of it. Like, for example, did you know that Wabash, Indiana was apparently one of the first cities in the United States to have electricity? I guess.
Really?
Did not know that. But, my point about the whole one, this is what they are teaching in Niagara. They obviously take electricity much more seriously, like the invention of electricity with the alternating current, the direct current, and the whole thing. Like in the United States, at least my experience going through public schools in the United States, you went to a private school in the United States, but the focus on the invention of electricity is very brief, and two, it is focused on Edison above all else, what I remember.
100%. The first time I've ever heard of Tesla or anything about Tesla is when the cars started to come out. So
first time I heard about Tesla was when one of my roommates in the Army had a Tesla album. There is a rock band. Of Tesla. And they're big into Nikola Tesla. Like it's kind of like their guy. So the more you know.
Father David just jumped in. He says, does he have to give a Canadian history lesson? We may have to have that, actually.
I know.
And then Salty says, Father David, they were celebrating you as a loyal listener. Ironically, you were not here. I That's actually really good.
It's very good, actually.
It's pretty. Touché. That's pretty solid. Happy Canada Day, Father David.
Touché,
that's
what we salty. Wanted to... Yes, our most loyal Canadian listener, not here as we were talking about him.
Father David, in as short of a response as you can make it, what is your relationship with England, like the British Empire?
Canada's relationship with England?
Like currently, because I don't know what it, I don't know what it is. I don't know. Are they in charge of Canada? Is it just a mutual friendship at this point? Like, what is the relationship? That's what I need to know.
Because isn't like the whole, you know, the king is still our king.
Okay.
He says, okay. There you go. So they are part of.
They're part of the empire.
Yeah. Okay. So there is no independence. They're still part of the empire.
Okay. I didn't know that.
They remember the Commonwealth, he says.
I did not know that. That is actually very interesting to me. I knew there was
They do still, you know, like God save the queen, right? Or is it God save the king?
God save the king now. Yeah.
We are a constitutional monarchy, says Father.
Okay.
Dave. Okay. All right, eh?
Just like England is a constitutional monarchy. Okay. All right.
Good to know. Good to know.
Interesting.
Here's something else I know.
Well, what do you got?
Notre Dame football training camp starts 30 days from today. What do you think about that?
Is it that fast? Is it coming up that quickly?
Like, we've got all these countdowns over the weekend. It's like, I keep seeing, you know, Notre Dame football, 60 days to Notre Dame football.
No, 61.
30. Training camp. That's the start of Notre Dame football right there. Because you know where you'll be able to come each and every day once training camp starts and get training camp nuggets, useful information. That's right. Irish Breakdown,
baby.
Podcast, irishbreakdown.com. Hit that like button while I'm thinking about it. So it's coming, baby. July is finally here. Joe says the longest 30 days of the year. I think we just went through the longest 30 days of the year personally.
It will be... It is interesting because, like, this is the only month of the year for me where I don't have any school. Like, there's no school in July, which means we've now hit July, which means it feels like I've hit the peak of summer and it's starting to go this way, which it's not the case. We're not even halfway through summer yet, but that's what it feels like. Like, it feels like we've hit it and now I'm on the backside and I don't like that feeling. I don't like it at all.
Yep. I got you.
Yeah,
I got you.
But we got a lot of summer left, and you know, it's gonna be great. I'm looking forward. I got a vacation ahead of me yet. At some point, still got some stuff going on, so I'm excited. And the way the calendar falls with everything, Sean, we're going back to school like a week later than we normally do.
Really?
Yeah. So
you excited about that, or does that just mean you go a week longer next year?
I mean, at least it means we go. Like, yeah. We got out earlier this year. We got out before Memorial Day. And then, or the week of Memorial Day, and then next year we go into June. So it's like,
yeah.
I mean, you're gonna, it's 180 days no matter how you slice it. You know, I mean, it just is what it is.
Very fortunate because I remember only going into June maybe a couple times when I was in school because of a couple you know, like snow days and stuff like that. If we had too many, you know, those kind of things.
Right.
Very fortunate we didn't go, like around here, it seems like, man, they go into June. All over the place.
Pretty much normally.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's because there's so many stinking breaks throughout the school year, which when I'm in the middle of it, I enjoy those breaks.
Well, obviously. Like we didn't have any fall break and
bingo. Yes.
Thanksgiving vacation or, you know, whatever it was basically.
Election day.
Very short.
We get off now.
Yeah. I don't think we got that off.
It's more of a safety issue because you got strangers coming in the building.
Yeah,
you never know. But
stranger danger. That's
stranger
right.
Stranger danger, baby. So yeah, there's a lot more breaks intermittent throughout, you know. But you know, I guess it is what it is.
Very true. Very true. Well, as it turned out, wasn't expecting this.
Me neither.
A big weekend for Riley Leonard, huh?
I know. Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Down in Louisiana.
I had no idea, and we're going to get into this, but I had no idea that they had competition for basically the counselors of the Manning camp. Like that, like the college guys are they go, and I was under the impression that they were just like, it was the place to be if you're a college starter, you know, and you help out these high school kids, you know, that you're like a counselor, you're a camp counselor.
Yeah.
I had no idea they had competitions. No idea.
I didn't either. And maybe it's because no Notre Dame quarterback had won this thing before.
Well, that's for sure. You know, like, they participated, but they have never – I've never seen them come home with any kind of accolade.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
So Riley Leonard comes out of the Manning Passing Academy as the winner of the Air It Out Challenge. Now, it is interesting. 45 – there were 45 college quarterbacks. And it took a lot to sort of find out what exactly he did – to win this.
Okay. I'm interested to find out, actually.
So they warmed up with what they call the deep ball challenge. And I don't know the specifics of what exactly the deep ball challenge are. But the main event, they made 3 throws ranging different yardage that required each of them to try to hit 3 moving golf carts.
Okay.
And then they would make a 40-plus yard throw into a kaboom net, whatever a kaboom net.
Okay. I mean, it's one of those deals with like the little
just the thing pockets. With like the, okay.
You know
the
what
square,
I mean?
The square with the, with like the, throw it the into holes. The slots. That's a kaboom net. Okay.
That's my guess. I mean, I'm kind of guessing. I suppose I could Google it.
Okay. Leonard was also reportedly one of 3 quarterbacks to hit. Well, not also. One of 3 quarterbacks to hit all 3 of the moving targets. So like he hit all the golf carts, basically. And then they're in a sudden death throw off. I'll bring this up right here. That was Dylan Gabriel, former Oklahoma, now Oregon quarterback. There's Riley Leonard, boom, nailing it. Here's Connor Wigman, Texas A&M.
The Wolf. Brutal. Brutal.
Connor Wigman. That's an interception in my book, what I just saw there.
I mean, it might be incomplete because there might not be anybody anywhere near where that ball fell down.
Xavier Watts is taking that back to the house.
Now, if that was the throw off or whatever, the sudden death, then that means he had to have done something good, I guess, to get to that point. But I don't know. Feels like he cracked under the pressure to me. I'm just going to say it.
Thought so as well. So apparently it came down to those 3.
Okay.
So, and I mean, already, I mean, we didn't even get to start talking about this, and Andre just came in. I'm glad he had a win, but we Notre Dame fans want a championship. It's not good enough that he goes and he beats out nearly 50 starting quarterbacks from around the country in this thing. It's, I don't even care. I just want a championship. Don't even waste your time. I'm apparently.
Take what you can get right now, Andre. Take what you can get. They're not handing out national championships in June. All right? They're just not.
No. They're, and then Andre says, nope. So how big a deal is this, do you think, Vince?
It's a deal. I don't know if I would say big deal. It's a deal.
Big deal, little deal, no deal.
Yeah, yeah, right. It's a deal. Look, I'd rather have him win it than not win it, right? Now, does this mean that Notre Dame's going to win all their games and he's going to win the Heisman Trophy? Of course not. But the fact that he was down to the finals with the guy he's going to face off against in the first game of the season, I do think is a little apropos. I did kind of like that, you know, the symmetry of that, or the foreshadowing potentially of that. And I like the fact that Riley Leonard came out on top and it wasn't close. So, I mean, that was great, but you know, it's good to see that he's doing these things, all of these great things that no Notre Dame quarterback has done in the offseason before. And so it gives us hope. Hopefully it's not false hope, but it gives us hope.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, look, all the things you hear about Riley Leonard is he's a guy who's competitive. He gets the competitive juices flowing and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, like Joe is asking, how serious was the competition? Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that was the
competition.
Yeah. And like it was, I like the fact that it was pretty smooth and effortless for, you know, he just kind of stood there. It's not like he, you know, he's like, you know, like sweating that moving, you know, mechanical dummy out there. He just kind of looked and he fired and he popped it. Again, he had to hit some moving targets and stuff. Which, like that, you know, it's like, look, to me, you know, like how serious was the competition? Well, to me, it's more about, you know, and again, this doesn't all of a sudden now Riley Leonard is a Heisman Trophy finalist or whatever because he won this thing. But Connor Wigman was there. Dante Moore and Dylan Gabriel were both there. Carson Beck was there. Jackson,
all the names.
Jackson Dart, Quinn Ewers, Graham Mertz, Jalen Milroe, Garrett Nussmeier, the LSU quarterback, Cade Klubnik, Drew Pine was there. So it's like these are all very significant quarterbacks from around the country. And you know, it looked like from everything that we've seen, a fairly relaxed setting and stuff like that. But it's a nice little notch in your belt if you're Riley Leonard to go down there and say you won this thing, right?
Look, if you're going to compete in something, why not go win it? All right? I mean, I want a competitor in that position for my team. And, you know, it's like Michael Jordan was one of the most competitive people that you've ever met, right? He wanted to win at poker. He wanted to win at whatever he was doing.
Checkers.
He wanted to win.
Yeah, throwing that quarter up against the wall. Like
right. Seriously. So, you know, whether it was a relaxed atmosphere or whether it was a diehard competition, I don't care. He wanted to win. He did win. I'll take it. I'll take the competitor all day.
And here is someone from On3 was down there, and here's part of the write-up that they had on what they saw from Riley Leonard. They said, Leonard flashed a big arm on Friday night. He won the event after forcing a three-man overtime that resulted in only Leonard hitting the downfield moving target. That's the video that we just showed there. With former LSU offensive coordinator Mike Denbrock now at Notre Dame, Leonard has a chance to be one of the country's most talked-about quarterbacks this fall.
That could be good or bad, but yes, I agree that he could be the most talked about. Absolutely. And this doesn't hurt the press for Riley Leonard going into the season. This little, because this is probably the last time that you're going to really see him do anything until training camp opens in a month, in 30 days, right? And so he's got all this positive mo going into that. And that's fantastic. I like it.
Well, and he was there last year as well. And here's a write-up from last year after they had, you know, just some like quick little write-ups. When it came to his showing at the Manning camp, Leonard made a number of big-time throws. Caleb Williams and Drake May are talked up as the top draft-eligible quarterbacks, but Leonard could sneak up on the board in a hurry this fall. Again, that was from last year's Manning camp.
That just backs up my point that I made before. I don't remember what show or when it was or whatever, but my point that going into the 23 season, Riley Leonard was talked about as a potential first round draft pick.
Yes.
And, you know, and with only 3 years of college, right? Because he's the same age as Caleb Williams. And so that was the talk swirling around Riley Leonard until he got hurt. And then he obviously fell off of everybody's draft boards. So I'm just saying, I think people have a convenient memory when it comes to who Riley Leonard is, and all they can remember is the fact that he got hurt by Notre Dame.
Yes.
And the issue, and look, those are all important pieces to the story. Don't get me wrong. But from a talent standpoint and from what he did in 22, there was a lot of buzz about Riley Leonard going into the 23 season.
And after that Clemson game last year, that, you know, when Duke knocked off Clemson, that exploded.
Oh, yeah.
Riley Leonard, like all people were talking about, his first round draft pick, you know, type of talk. And this is a guy who was pretty highly thought of, kind of off the radar because he was at Duke, but highly thought of.
Yeah.
Going into the season, if he doesn't get injured, if he doesn't get injured, he's not here.
Oh, right, 100%. He's not.
He's getting ready for NFL training camp.
Correct. Right now. Absolutely. That's if he doesn't get injured. If he doesn't get injured with the way he was playing, you know, going into the Notre Dame game and how he played at the beginning of the Notre Dame game, yeah, he's definitely getting drafted. I don't know if it would be first round or whatever, but there's a lot of guys with, in my opinion, a lot less talent than him that got drafted in the first round.
Resident scorekeeper DK reminding you when it was, May 15th, 6:18 p.m.
It was definitely possible.
Could you see DK like in his den? He's like tracking everything. He's got his scotchy scotch. And,
I mean, like, it was a Wednesday. I was on the show that day. So it's definitely possible. I mean,
Could have been possible. So perfect segue, though. What kept Riley Leonard in college? What has him at Notre Dame? It's the fact that he was injured last year. And they did a little press conference. We're going to play some cuts of Riley Leonard from his press conference on some different topics, including this one right here, where he was asked about his health and how healthy he is right now.
Healthy. I can't stress that enough. Like, I'm very healthy. If you were walking around in my body, you wouldn't even know you had any injuries in the first place. So, feeling good. There's no limitations to anything in the workout wise that I'm doing. So, feel good.
He said some form of that in, I guess it was April, but a week or two before the spring game when we got to talk to Riley Leonard, some version of, if you were walking around in my body, you wouldn't feel any pain. That was after he had the plate right in his foot and all that kind of stuff. So this is what, like 3 months later at this point, I guess, right? Like roughly 3 months later.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Later. Yeah. So how much does that ease your, you know, whatever concern you have about Riley Leonard's health when you're in state?
I mean, realistically, I didn't have a whole lot of concern, to be perfectly honest with you. I think that if it was the regular season, I think he plays in the blue gold game, to be perfectly honest with you. Now, I don't know that he would have been 100%, you know, that kind of, he wouldn't have been as dynamic as, you know, he would be if he was 100% healthy, but I don't think it would have kept him out of the game. So 3 months removed from that, I feel really, I would have, without him even saying that, I would have felt really good about where he's at. You know, they definitely wouldn't have trotted him out at the Manning camp and had him running around and doing stuff if they thought that he wasn't really ready to roll.
Yeah. Let him go down there.
No.
You don't feel good about where his health is.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, the Manning camp means nothing.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like, it means absolutely nothing.
Just like the blue gold game ultimately means nothing.
Exactly. And so, I mean, it's great to hear him say that, which is awesome. But the fact that he was down there, he was competing, he looked great. I really have no worries whatsoever. Now, there's always going to be, I think, in the back of everybody's mind, if some defensive lineman or something goes low on him or something. But you would have that for any quarterback.
Exactly.
Right? Exactly. That's why they have all the rules in the NFL about hitting below the waist or below the knee.
But look, I think he unfairly got labeled a quarterback with a history of injuries. Basically, based on one thing that happened to him last year, he tried to come back and play, kind of had problems with the toe. And obviously, you know, there were lingering things with the foot because he never had surgery when he was at Duke. And so, you know, like injury history became his label, but really it's something isolated that happened last year, because unfortunately Howard Cross came down on that ankle and it kind of set off, you know, a little bit of a chain reaction. I think the biggest thing when you hear, one, he's already had the tightrope surgery, but then in the middle of spring after he gets to Notre Dame and it's like, okay, he had a plate in the foot, but now we're taking the plate out and we're putting a new plate in.
Yeah.
That to me is what sets off the alarm bell.
Sure.
But absolutely, the fact that he's standing here again, almost 3 months, really more than 3 months since that surgery, And he's saying he feels good, and Notre Dame feels good enough to let him run around out there and,
yeah.
and you know, go to the passing academy. And he's obviously working out with guys, you know, took guys down to Alabama and doing all these different things. I think you have to feel really good about it.
Just well, and he was where he was running. Yeah, he was running around at the Irish Invasion too.
Yeah,
right. I mean, and wasn't he like out playing defense at one point? And you know,
yeah, that's
whatever.
Right.
Like, especially on campus at Notre Dame, they're not going to let him do that if they have any worries about that ankle. And so, look, if Notre Dame doesn't have any issues with the way he's running around and doing stuff, then who am I to have issues with him running around and doing stuff? I guess that's the way I look at it, because I do trust the health, you know, the strength staff and the sports medicine staff and, you know, all the people that are involved with all the injuries and things. They seem to feel very comfortable with Riley Leonard. And so if they feel comfortable with him, then so do I. But, you know, again, there's always going to be that nagging thing in the back of your head. You know, if he gets knocked to the ground or somebody goes low, you know, you're going to be worried.
No, but, I mean, you are going to wince. Like, especially the first time you see somebody come down on hard on his legs, you know.
But you can't feel that. You can't act that way when you're calling plays. And you can't act that way if you're Riley Leonard. Either you're 100% healthy and you go out there and you play 100% and Mike Denbrock calls plays knowing he's got 100% Riley Leonard, or you don't play him. Because a non-100% Riley Leonard, you know, there's a certain percentage. And I don't know what that percentage is. Until you start evening up with your backups. You know what I mean? And again, a 90% Riley Leonard is probably still better than everybody else.
Oh, so you're saying,
you know what I mean?
This percent, like,
right.
You're better off just going with the backup. That
correct.
Kind of, yeah.
But like, you can't, there's a chance that somebody gets hurt on every play. You can't call plays that way.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't, yeah, exactly. And that's when people start getting hurt, when you start acting that way. So everybody seems to be real comfortable, man. So I'm excited to see what he can do.
I mean, like, look at Tom Brady. He had that knee injury however many years ago that was, you know, the shot that he took to the knee with, you know, and they ultimately changed the rules on, okay, no more hits below the knee and that kind of thing. But he never had another one of those injuries again in the rest of his career. You know, it worked out pretty well. So you just get to kind of have to play through it. And we'll get to kind of more of that here. In a minute, he's going to have some comments on being in Mike Denbrock's offense.
Nice.
We'll get into Salty, though, wants a Freaky Friday type situation where he gets to walk around in somebody else's body and feel what that feels like.
Depends on whose body it is.
Yes.
So just leave it at that.
It's very true. Okay, so here's what he said, Riley Leonard, that he wanted to get out of being at the Manning Academy.
I think, you know, the biggest thing is just like friends that'll last a lifetime. I think, you know, there's nobody in the world that can relate to me probably more than like this guy right here or like any of these transfer quarterbacks who, like, we're living the same life just at different schools. So we're all like really good buddies now, even after, you know, a day I met him yesterday, but. I think, you know, yeah, these friendships will last for a long time.
He sounds like a kid who just got home from summer camp.
I know. It's the friends we met along the way, Vince.
It's like, I'm going to be friends with these people forever. It is so great. I love these people so much. Oh, my God. It feels like we've known each other forever.
I wish I could have seen who he was pointing to. Like,
I know,
who exactly that was. You know, it's like, was it Drew Pine? You know, was Drew like, hey, get over there?
I mean, that is hilarious to me that, you know, you're going to make friends for a lifetime, even though they just met yesterday.
Right.
That is. Now, part of it is true.
Camp and pals, you know.
Exactly. Part of it is true. Like, the only people in the world that know what he's going through are other people that are transferring. Like, I get that part of it. And so it's nice to have those conversations. But the whole lifelong friend thing is hilarious.
Like, yeah. I thought that was pretty funny as well.
Great.
Well, I don't have anything to add, but it's, we're going to be friends for life now.
He just sounds like a middle school girl who just went on like a 24-hour retreat or something. You know what I mean? And they were hugging. And, this is my best friend ever. Yeah, it's hilarious.
All right, so here's what Leonard said about the difference between playing at Duke and playing for Notre Dame.
You know, obviously there's a lot of social media attention that comes with it. I don't really go on social media, so I'm not sure on that scale. But I will say walking around South Bend,
you know, you drive 15, 20, 30 minutes off campus, you're still going to get, like, some diehard Irish fans, which is really cool, and I embrace. I think just, like, the community as a whole is probably a little bit more into the football side of things, for sure.
Drive 30 minutes off.
Well, you're not going to find not in, Duke, right. Yeah, you got Chapel Hill down the road. You got NC State, Wake Forest. So, I mean, you know, you get to northern Indiana, it's going to be Notre Dame, even in Chicago. So,
you think he's driving over to Middlebury, you know, like getting some Amish donuts and the only place from all the diehards out there.
The only place he's driving is to the South Bend Airport to go other places. Like, I that's know. The only... It's the only travel that he's
when I
really
heard
doing.
Him when I first heard that I started thinking about the 15 to 30 minute radius around it. There's no way Riley Leonard has driven 15 minutes away from campus. I'm sorry,
no
like
chance.
You said, unless it's to the airport, right. Unless it's to Chicago,
right?
Whatever it happens to be, I don't see it. I'm sorry.
Now, his point that he's making is a good one in that where he was before, he was surrounded by other universities. And he's going to run into fans of those other schools.
Right.
Okay. Got it. That's a good point. Around here, now, you don't just have Notre Dame fans, but the majority of the people are Notre Dame fans. And
I mean, you go 15 miles north, you're in Michigan. You're going to get some Michigan State fans.
He didn't go north. There's no way he went north. But
I agree.
But no, he makes a good point that Notre Dame fans are everywhere. Like, that's the point he was trying to make. I don't know that he made it very succinctly or you know,
but
put
again,
it together in words. But
like, in comparison to where he was, where you got Chapel Hill, Raleigh, Durham, and
I mean, how many Duke football fans, like specifically Duke football fans, are there?
And that's got to be the biggest thing to me because basketball is the biggest sport there.
100%.
Compared to here, where obviously football is king. So
yes.
Yeah.
100%. Basketball will always come first down there. Always. There's a reason Mike Elko left.
There you go.
I mean, he had a great thing going down there. A great thing going down there. But money talks, and so does the SEC, and so does the, you know, massiveness of who Texas A&M thinks they are and wants to be. I mean, they're a football school first.
Yeah.
Duke will never be a football school, ever.
Is Texas A&M a football school? Are we comfortable in saying that?
Well, I mean, are they a baseball school? Like, what are they? I think they're a football school because they're in the SEC and they're in Texas. And so I think almost by default,
I would say they're a football. I would say every school in Texas is a football school. So,
right.
Yeah. Well, see what happens if Sark leaves in a few years, if Denver or if Elko does what the baseball coach did and jump ship and
that's a whole other story. That's a whole other story. Caveman NC. So is this somebody who went to Mishawaka High School that lives in North Carolina?
Caveman living in Carolina?
Yeah, that's my question. But he says they give Duke tickets away. I live 5 minutes from the stadium. Well, you can go see some good football for free, apparently. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
But I'm curious if he's a caveman. Our caveman roots, man. They run a little deep for you and me.
I witnessed Krzyzewskiville when I was out there with women's basketball this past season, walking around. They were camping out like a full week before whatever the next home game was, I think. Like, they've got the tent set up.
Yeah.
The whole thing out there. They've got Port-a-Johns set up for them out there. It's a very elaborate production.
Wow.
I would doubt that they're camping out like that for Duke football games.
I would be surprised.
Oh, he said born and raised in North Carolina.
Oh,
he's a Carolina caveman is what he
is. All right. Good deal. Yeah, I can't imagine they have a hard time filling the student section in basketball, but I would imagine at times they have a hard time filling the student section for football games.
Right.
Don't really have to camp out for those.
Especially now you lose head coach who had kind of brought you back a little bit. You lose a guy like Riley Leonard. What will we think on August 1st after we've seen a camp? What do we think on August 15th after we've seen
It's a great question. I think I'll have more to say on August 15th than I will on, you know, July 31st.
Because, I mean, when you think about it, we really didn't get to see – like, we've seen Riley Leonard on game film, and I think that that's the most important thing. But we didn't get to see him really, you know, do any Riley Leonard magic stuff this spring.
That's true. We got to see him warm up a bunch.
Yeah.
You know, that wasn't all that exciting.
We're a headset. So,
and we're not going to see much on the first day either. Because they're going to be out there in helmets and jerseys, and that's it. And so we're not going to see a whole lot there. We're not going to see anything unless they let us see, like, the jersey scrimmage that they have in the fall before they get into, you know, game prep, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of a thing. I think they usually let us see that. I'll have a lot of opinions at that point. Until then.
I'm sure you will.
The jury's still out, my friend. The jury is still out. I like where things are trending. I like what I'm hearing. I like what I've seen on film. All of those things. But I need to see him throw into Notre Dame people,
Vince,
under duress.
If you could walk around in his body, you'd feel even better about it right now.
You're probably right. I'd feel really good about it because I'd be 22 again and a Division I athlete. Man, so
I'll tell you what. Some things just ran through my head that I'm not
going to get into. I bet they did.
Father David wants to know if we know how many practices we're going to get to see. No, we have not received any kind of schedule yet. All we know is that Marcus Freeman, in that closed door little sesh a month or so ago, said that July 31st, first day of camp.
Right. So that's all we know.
Typically, within a week or so of camp, maybe two, we'll get the itinerary emailed.
So a couple weeks,
and maybe a couple weeks down the line. Yeah,
my guess is we'll get the first practice, we'll get a scrimmage, and then we'll get a bunch of five perioders. You know what I mean? We'll get two full practices. One doesn't really matter because it's the first day, but they always give that to us. And we'll get a scrimmage, I would hope, and then a bunch of, hey, you get to watch them warm up and then do some individual drills and maybe see the kicker's kick and the punter's punt, which this year is actually something that I want to see because they're both new.
Yeah.
So
there will be more eyes on the punter for sure during training camp. Thor, James Redding. Yep.
Just cracks me up, man. How he's already who he is and he has done nothing.
I know.
Nothing.
I've always said, Vince, you should be from Missouri. Show me state. Like, you've got to see it.
I do.
Got to see it to believe it.
Need to see something. I need to see something. You know, I need to see all these parts working together.